Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of the Enterprise Podcast Network, featuring some of the most prominent business professionals in the world today. And now your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Today we're speaking with Dr. Paula Calagiri, an award-winning author, distinguished academic, and leading expert in cultural agility. Her new book is Build Your Cultural Agility, The Nine Competencies of Successful Global Professionals. And Dr. Calagiri, thanks for spending a moment with us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Oh, my pleasure, Eric. Nice to be with you.
Of course, we certainly do appreciate your taking a moment to be with us here today. So for starters today, tell us, what is cultural agility? Let's start there.
Sure. It's our human ability to work comfortably and effectively in with people from different countries and with people from different cultures of different generations and the like. So anytime you're in a multicultural setting in a situation, we need cultural agility.
And to add on to that, is cultural agility a competency to be developed or a trait you are born with? Talk to us about that.
Oh, sure. No, it's a great question, because cultural agility is both. So if you think about every one of us, we're born with the way our bodies handle serotonin and dopamine, and those things affect how we experience novelty, experience difference, experience the world that's not as predictable as we expect it to be in our own lives. So whenever we're in a situation of novelty, some of that natural tendency will definitely come out, but it can be developed when we build out skills and abilities related to tolerating ambiguity or being more curious or having some humility for the context. So there's lots we could do to develop it, but there is a bit of hardwiring there too.
Now, another question for you, who actually needs cultural agility? Break that down and get into that further, if you would.
Well, it's any situation where you're in any situation where you can't fully predict the circumstances around you, yet it's human to human, and things like trust and credibility, communication, collaboration, whenever any of those are needed and you're in a situation that you can't fully predict, that's when you need cultural agility. So it's, you know, kind of a classic example. Some of my clients are pharmaceutical sales reps who are building trust with their foreign-born heritage healthcare providers. That's where cultural agility is needed. We have students who are on multicultural campuses. Cultural agility is needed. I have professional athletes who are working on multicultural professional sport teams. Cultural agility is needed. So it's so varied, but it's a fundamental issue of trust, credibility, communication, collaboration.
Yeah, certainly makes a lot of sense, and thanks for your input and feedback so far. This is great today. We're speaking with Dr. Paula Calagiri, the author of her new book. It is Build Your Cultural Agility, The Nine Competencies of Successful Global Professionals, and she's joined us here today on Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Now, continuing on, how do we actually develop cultural agility? Talk to us about that as well.
Right. So if we think about cultural agility as you know, having different competencies, there's any situation you can develop in any situation at all, any one-on-one interaction. You don't have to physically travel to a different place. Any interaction that you're having with someone who's demographically different from you, who might see the world through a different lens, who might be interpreting something subjective through a different filter. Any one of those circumstances has the potential to help you build cultural agility. If you're willing to say, you know what, I want to learn more about how you're seeing this, what you're seeing. I want to engage more in why you see this world that way. I want to tolerate greater ambiguity, meaning I'm gonna wait a while to make a determination that is about this situation. So I'm going to wait a while. I'm going to lengthen the time it takes for me to make that subjective judgment while I gather information about what's really happening, because my brain is going to respond reflexively in a way that might not be consistent. So if you think about what situations, it's really any that you perceive to be multicultural, and that you engage with that, you know, lengthening that tolerance of ambiguity, the ability to see it as a novel setting, and really seek out that the truth to better understand the situation that others are experiencing.
And Dr. Calagiri, I'd be curious on this. Can one gain cultural agility from traveling to different countries? Is that possible?
Oh, gosh, Eric, I wish it was that easy. You know, imagine how easy world peace would be, right, if we could just get people to get on planes and travel to different countries. Now, unfortunately, it's not just breathing the air of another country. It's having peer-level interaction. So you're not just, you know, on a cruise ship getting off, eating the food, you know, going to the tourist sites and jumping back on the cruise ship. You're actually going in and experiencing and having deeper, high-quality conversations, maybe collaborating on something, having an opportunity to understand why things are the way they are as opposed to just seeing them or observing them through your lens. So travel is a great way to build cultural agility, but it's not just the travel that makes it developmental. It's the experience one has while they're there. So that human-to-human interaction, the opportunity to question and test assumptions, to see things through the eyes of people who live there.
I actually figured you were going to say that, but I wanted to get clarity and have you publicly state that that is not the way you get cultural agility. So thanks for clarifying that. So how does cultural agility relate to unconscious bias?
Oh, goodness. Yeah. So I realize that so many organizations are offering unconscious bias training these days, and I appreciate that, you know, there's an attempt there. I get very nervous about all this unconscious bias training and what it's doing to our desire to have those natural conversations with people who are demographically different. So by nearly calling it a bias, we all have this thing called, I hate saying it, this unconscious bias thing. All it is our limbic processor. All it is saying, look, at however old you are, you've been collecting data for a good long time. And in fact, your subjective perception of the world around you is based on that stored data. That's it. That's all it is. It's not a bias. It's not a bias to say that, you know, you're observing the world and seeing it through how your brain's kind of lazy and it processes quickly. My fear is that by us labeling it a bias, we're subconsciously encouraging people to sort of say, look, I don't want you to see my bias. I'm just going to avoid those conversations. Yet that's inherently the exact thing we need to be doing in order to build cultural agility. So my fear is that for some, we might be doing more harm than good. In my opinion, the unconscious bias training, I think, needs to be tempered with sort of an active engagement and encouragement of people to have authentic conversations with one another about how they're seeing the world. It's cool. It's okay to say, hey, you know what? I've been socialized differently throughout my life than you have. That's okay. We all have, you know?
Isn't that the truth? Really great to have you with us, Dr. Calagiri, and to touch on this, on cultural agility per your expertise. And of course, your book is titled Build Your Cultural Agility. Before you go in conclusion, any closing thoughts, a takeaway, a tip, or anything else you'd like to mention before we wrap things up today?
Yeah, I think we need to recognize that, you know, whenever we're in situations that are new and novel, whenever we're in situations where people are demographically different, whether it's national culture, professional culture, generation, whatever, we don't realize it, but that puts us into this like sense of novelty. When our brains go into perceiving novelty, we have a tendency to want to move to cognitive ease, emotional ease, so we cling to familiar. We need to work really hard to build cultural agility. We need to work really hard to push against that and be comfortable longer in situations that can't be predicted. Because as soon as we give ourselves the freedom to say, you know what, I'm not sure exactly what's going on here, and engage and have conversations with people who do, we're all going to build out that cultural agility, and it's so important today.
Dr. Calagiri, thanks for your time and for visiting with us here today. Where can listeners actually be in touch with you and to get more information accordingly, obviously, to pick up the book as well?
Sure. So the book's available on Amazon and wherever fine books are sold. But what's really exciting about the book And you don't need to buy the book to get this. It also comes with a free web app. So if you go to www.myguide.com, but it's M-Y-G-I-I-D-E, so it's spelled a little bit of a different way, M-Y-G-I-I-D-E, that gives you an ability to assess your cultural competencies for free, give some tips on how to build them. You can assess cultural values and compare your values to different countries. And we set this up as a public benefit corporation, so everybody has access to it, and it's free.
And you certainly can't beat that. What an awesome resource as well. Dr. Calogeri, all the best. Thanks so much for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio. Much appreciated.
Oh, my pleasure, Eric. Take care.
We've been speaking with Dr. Paula Calogeri, the author of her new book, Build Your Cultural Agility, The 9 Competencies of Successful Global Professionals. And once again, the website of reference is My Guide. That's M-Y-G-I-I-D-E, myguide.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune into our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio. To subscribe to more of our programming, visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.